accomplishment which he had felt on stage that night had played a large part in helping him to put his life back in order. The experiment at the Royal Opera House soon turned into a new charity, Streetwise Opera. Now in its 9th year, we run a music programme every week in 11 homeless centres around England with about 600 people per year. Our latest production, a film and opera project called My Secret Heart by Mira Kalix, starred 101 homeless people and has been seen by over 150,000 people worldwide, from the Royal Festival Hall to Paris and Tokyo. Last year, we won 4 major awards, were praised in the government homelessness strategy, and we now work around the world demonstrating how music can be an important part of the support and rehabilitation of homeless people. One of the first things people ask me is, do your performers actually like opera? I have to admit that at the beginning, I did wonder what would happen when the first opera singer came into a shelter and sang an aria at full tilt. In the beginning, we did get a few baffled looks and comments about fat ladies with horned helmets. But of all the repertoire we work on each week in the centres up and down the country, from musicals to folk, it's almost always the classical music and the opera that is the most popular. Opera is successful in this context for a number of reasons. The beauty of the music gets to people surprisingly quickly, and I've seen very tough-looking grown men cry when they have heard Puccini's O Mio Babbino Caro. Opera is also multi-layered, so participants can get involved in any number of ways, from acting to singing, assisting the director, working backstage and front of house at performances. This creates teamwork and a feeling that whether you're in the spotlight or helping to operate the spotlight, you are an important cog in the wheel of the production. Opera gives people status, but it also opens up their horizons. A lot of our group have a very narrow experience, which isn't a problem in itself, but it often holds them back. We find that once they try something that is as alien as opera, their horizons are immediately opened up, and they can see possibilities in their situation that they never imagined, like considering joining a course or talking to a rehab officer. As one of our performers once said, being in the opera has shown me that if I can achieve this, surely I can take on anything else. Have they gone now? I was not really sleeping. To make them leave us, I only was pretending. So many things are in my heart. Working with opera in a homeless centre also immediately gives people the message that you have high expectations of them. For a group used to doubting themselves since everyone else does, having this attitude is a spark that lights a fire inside them. Another question I'm often asked is whether opera actually helps people long term after that initial buzz. The answer is yes, and often very quickly. For some of our performers, being in a show has led them to speak to their housing officer for the first time and make plans to move into a council flat, reduce their methadone prescription by 70%, or even find the confidence to join an evening class, which has led them to be accepted onto a university degree course. But it's often the less obvious results that can be the most compelling. I remember when we started to work in a centre in Newcastle, a member of staff told me about Ron, a middle-aged man who used the centre every day. The worker said that he'd be no trouble, but he'd never join in. Sure enough, Ron sat in his chair in the canteen where our workshop took place, listened to the singing, but never showed any interest in taking part. We soon started rehearsals on a new opera commission that was to be premiered at the Sage Gateshead, and we needed to recruit some backstage crew. Ron agreed to be an assistant stage manager, and he took a lot of pride in this role. When we were giving the cast and crew free tickets for the show to give to friends, he took a few. We found out later that he had got back in touch with his two daughters he hadn't seen for 10 years. They came to the production and one of his daughters brought along his granddaughter who he had never met before. There is, of course, a danger of getting too sentimental and misty-eyed about this work and ignoring the problems and challenges that arise at every turn. The Little Prince is a case in point. It was a one-off project, so there was nothing planned immediately after the curtain fell. This meant that after the excitement, the crew went straight back to their routines. Some used the experience to move themselves forward, but I think we let down the group by giving them a taste of something so special without a proper way of keeping that going. Continuity is essential when working with vulnerable people. The arts can make quick transformations, and transformations where other interventions have failed, especially for long-term homeless people. Parachuting in one-off projects is asking for trouble. The other challenge we have day-to-day is getting people through the door in the first place. And I'm afraid that opera's associations mean that many people are put off before they have even tried it. This issue isn't confined to homeless centres, obviously, and the majority of the population will never go to the opera, not because it's too expensive, but because it's alien and is never going to be part of their everyday experience. What makes our performers give it a go is almost always about trust. If someone they know, a key worker or a friend, tells them that opera is good fun, they will come. It is interesting that over a third of people who make it through the door come back every week, which is a pretty good hit rate in a hostel or homeless centre, not to mention a demonstration that once they've tried it, many are hooked. I've lost count of the number of times people suggest to me that we should try something easier than opera. There is no doubt that what we do is hard, but in my view, this is a strength and partly why it works so well. It is vital we stick to our guns. Other musical styles are fantastic, but just wouldn't provide as many opportunities in terms of creativity, status, teamwork, high expectations, and the horizons it opens. I also believe that artistic quality is incredibly important. Giving homeless people this experience is not enough. If the standards weren't good, a pat on the back and a well done anyway does nobody any favours, and you're not going to get audiences to come back if they know the standard is going to be ropey. By making our shows artistically as well as socially good, our performers and crew feel genuinely respected and valued. Getting a 5-star review in a national newspaper or having your work programmed into a major festival has a massive impact on those involved, builds public awareness, making audiences sit up and take notice. But ultimately, what we do and the way we do it is not the reason why it works. The reason why opera can transform the lives of people who've experienced homelessness is because despite their situation and their histories, our performers have always been able to put that to one side. People like Ron, John and Pete face monumental problems in their lives every single day, but they have had the courage to step up to the stage and try something extraordinary, and in so doing, prove to themselves and others that the impossible can happen.
Matt Peacock from Streetwise Opera presented this evening's edition of the essay A Passion for Opera. It was produced by Sarah Taylor, and the musical extracts were from some of the charity's homeless singing projects. The next essay in this series is on Thursday evening, when the editor of Opera Now magazine, Ashutosh Kandakar, reflects on the way his youthful experience of performing opera fired his teenage imagination. Ashutosh will talk about the impact of being on stage amidst the noise, the fury and the passion. That's Thursday evening at 11:15.
On Radio 3 Breakfast tomorrow morning, John Elliott Gardner and the Monte Carlo Orchestra get the party started by kicking up a bohemian festivity just before 7:30 in music by Massenet. At 8:30, our screen classic is Korngold's Cello Concerto, written for the 1946 film Deception. After that, the Queen of Sheba arrives in style and Renee Fleming sings us out with the four last songs by Strauss. That's Breakfast on Radio 3 tomorrow morning with me, Sarah Moore-Peach. Do join me from 7 till 10.
And that's here on BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. Now Late Junction with Max Reinhardt.
I took a freight train to be my friend. Oh, Lord. You know I hoboed a long, long ways from home. My mother, she found me that morning. She found me down to the yard. Oh, Lord. She said, my son, he's gone. Yes, he's gone in the world somewhere. Dear old mother, she was on her knees of crying. Oh,
when I first thought to hoboing, I took a freight train to be my friend, O Lord. Well, we've all been there. John Lee Hooker with Hobo Blues, which was probably his second single release back in 1948 on Chicago label Modern Records. Welcome to Late Junction, back in the studio after last week's excursion to the Latitude Festival, an event that managed to cater for all ages, even babies. Creating music for babies was something that fascinated electronic music pioneer Raymond Scott. In 1963, he released three volumes of Soothing Sounds for Baby. From Volume 1, An Early Encounter with Ambient Electronic Trance, Sleepy Time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Craig Bendian on vibraphone and crotales, playing his composition Frame the Invisible for Arshile Gorky, the pioneering abstract expressionist painter. Greg is a percussionist who's worked in the avant-garde guitar department with Pat Metheny, Derek Bailey, Gary Lucas and Mark Rebo, and in the avant-garde piano department with Cecil Taylor. But that was from his solo album Research, Tiny Useful Secrets. Sondorgo are a Hungarian Serb band who have two useful secrets. Well, actually, they're not that secret. Firstly, their love of the once popular tambura, the fretted string instrument you'll hear being played at the speed of light on this next tune. And secondly, the passionate vocal revelation that is gypsy singer Antal Kovash. This is Voye Sasa.
Voye Sasa, Voye Sasa. Chororom sima De chororom sima Mesom chorom Bakhtala Baro Uranile barvalile Ke yakanak somlacho Ke yakanak somlacho Ke voisi bangi Voisi bangi Naștec voi de pire Naștec de la șare Că voi si bângi Voi si bângi Că naștec voi de pire Chore
Robert Miller, playing Movement 3 of Sonata for Microtonal Piano by Ben Johnston. Johnston composes in the just intonation system in order to reopen doors closed by the acceptance of the 12-tone equal-tempered scale as the norm of pitch usage. Well, if you understand the difference between equal temperament and just intonation, you're ahead of me. But if you can come up with a brief and lucid exposition or want to comment on this programme at all, then please email us at late.junction@bbc.co.uk or write to us at Late Junction, BBC Radio 3, Broadcasting House, London, W1A, 1AA. Meanwhile, we'll make do with what Ben Johnston wrote about his composition. It's a sonata. What do you want? Candy? If you want Tinari Wen, be prepared for the wind of change that seems to be blowing through their work. They've put down their Fender Stratocasters and picked up acoustic guitars, and also joined forces with Kip Malone and Tunde Adebimpe from TV on the Radio on this new single, Tenere Takim Tosam.
Tenere takim tosam, tenere takim tosam, tenere takim tosam. Thank you.
Halina Ibrahimova, performing the Carente from Bach's Partita No. 1 in B minor. I was lucky enough to see her play earlier this month at the Manchester International Festival as part of an installation piece enhanced by the Quay brothers, who provided the lighting, the staging and a flickering animated film about the death of Bartok. It all took place in Cheetham's College, a medieval oasis at the heart of urban Manchester. My gig of the year so far. It was utterly amazing to experience Alina playing in a small room, and if you can, you should catch the piece this week in London, where it's taking place at Wilton's Music Hall. Tomorrow night's the last night, by the way. Before that, Czech indie pop duo DVA with Fatal, a track in which an astronaut on an intergalactic spaceship is singing about the love of his life. He knows this beloved woman only from the poster inside the spaceship. Retreating from the 21st century, this is Symphony, featuring Stevie Wishart on medieval fiddle, Palamento.
Thank you.
Suspended Edges, composed and performed by Monty Adkins. He's a classical electronic composer from Huddersfield University Music Department. But as my producer Philip Tagney points out, that track could have been made by a techno glitch kid on the Warp label. You're listening to Lake Junction on BBC Radio 3, and you can find a full listing of all the music I'm playing tonight on the BBC Radio 3 web pages. And while you're there, you can also listen to this programme again over the next 7 days. Two women vocalists now. In a moment, Little Yellow Roses from Faye Heald's recent debut album, Looking Glass. And she's appearing at Warwick Folk Festival this very Sunday, 31st July. But first, Amira with her hybrid of Bosnian traditional music and jazz, Grana Odbora.
Oh, lay on my back with the sun in my eyes. Soon I will know what no living man knows. All of my life's been a fight against lies. Death brings the truth, and it's my turn to know. Send my mother a lock of my hair. Send my father the watch that he gave me. Tell my brother to follow me if he dare. Tell them I'm lost now and no one can save me. Send my love little yellow roses. My father taught me that all men are equal, whatever colour, religion or land. Taught me to fight for the things I believed in. This I have done with a gun in my hand. Send my mother a lock of my hair. Send my father the watch that he gave me. Tell my brother to follow me if he dare. Tell them I'm lost now and no one can save me. Remember, remember, send my love little yellow roses. I met my love in a garden of roses. She pricked a finger, how sharp the thorn grows. We made a promise that till death did part us, we'd never look on that wild yellow rose. Send my mother a lock of my hair. Send my father the watch that he gave me. Tell my brother to follow me. Tell them I'm lost now and no one can save me. Remember, remember, send my love little yellow roses. Remember, remember, send my love little yellow roses.
Oh.
Mystery Machine, The Golden Age of Apocalypse, from Thundercat, a.k.a. Stephen Bruner, as produced by Flying Lotus. There's dark, gritty and enigmatic for you. Has Matt Modin bring back the light now, or at least a few summer fireworks, with this tune from their acclaimed Cicada album, In 2 Years?
Darkness at the break of noon, shadows, even the silver spoon, the handmade blade, the child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon, to understand you know too soon, there's no sense in trying. Pointed threats, they bluff with scorn. Suicide remarks are torn from the fool's gold mouthpiece. The hollow horn plays wasted words, proves to warn that he not busy being born is busy dying. Temptation's page flies out the door. You follow, find yourself at war. Watch waterfalls of pity roar. You feel to moan, but unlike before, you discover that you just be one more person crying. So don't fear if you hear a foreign sound to your ear. It's all right, Ma, I'm only sighing. As some worn victory, some downfall, private reasons, great or small, can be seen in the eyes of those that call to make all that should be killed to crawl, while others say don't hate nothing at all except hatred. Disillusion words like bullets bark as human gods aim for their mark. Make everything from toy guns that spark to flesh-colored Christs that glow in the dark. It's easy to see without looking too far that not much is really sacred. Preachers preach of evil fates, Teachers teach that knowledge waits can lead to $100 plates. Goodness hides behind its gates, but even the president of the United States sometimes must have to stand naked. And though the rules of the road have been lodged, it's only people's games that you got to dodge. And it's all right, Ma, I can make it. Advertising signs that con you into thinking you're the one that can do what's never been done, that can win what's never been won. Meantime, life outside goes on all around you. You lose yourself, you reappear. You suddenly find you got nothing to fear. Alone you stand with nobody near. When a trembling distant voice unclear startles your sleeping ears to hear that somebody thinks they really found you. A question in your nerves is lit, yet you know there is no answer fit to satisfy, ensure you not to quit, to keep it in your mind and not forget that it is not he or she or them or it that you belong to. But though the masters make the rules for the wise men and the fools, I got nothing, Ma, to live up to. For them that must obey authority that they do not respect in any degree, who despise their jobs, their destiny, speak jealously of them that are free, do what they do just to be nothing more than something they invest in. While some on principles baptized to strict party platform ties, social clubs in drag disguise, outsiders they can freely criticize, tell nothing except who to idolize and say God bless him. While one who sings with his tongue on fire gargles in the rat race choir, bent out of shape from society's pliers, cares not to come up any higher, but rather get you down in the hole that he's in. But I mean no harm, nor put fault on anyone that lives in a vault. But it's all right, Ma, if I can't please him. Old lady judges watch people in pairs, limited in sex they dare, to push fake morals, insult and stare. While money doesn't talk, it swears. Obscenity, who really cares? Propaganda, all is phony. While them that defend what they cannot see with a killer's pride, security, it blows their minds most bitterly. For them that think death's honesty won't fall upon them naturally, life sometimes must get lonely. My eyes collide head on with stuffed graveyards, false goals. I scuff at pettiness which plays so rough. Walk upside down inside handcuffs, kick my legs to crash it off. Say, okay, I've had enough. What else can you show me? And if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine. But it's all right, Ma, it's life and life only.
A I was very surprised to find that I still hadn't played any Bob Dylan in this, his 70th year. But now I have. There he was, selling it like it was and like it still is. It's All Right, Ma, from the Bring It All Back Home album. Always a useful listen in a political crisis. It's one of his stream-of-consciousness depictions of what's going down, which isn't going to lose its relevance in the foreseeable future. From one form of timelessness to another, beneath ash and ocean. From the Australian group, the Crooked Fiddle Band, who may describe themselves as chainsaw folk, but this sounds like a string quartet to me.
And rocky before you get to heaven. The road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. The road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. Lord, I feel like shining all the time. Well, you got to have religion before you get to heaven. You got to have religion before you get to heaven. You got to have religion before you get to heaven. Lord, I feel like shining all the time. Before you get to heaven, the road is rough and rocky. Before you get to heaven, the road is rough and rocky. Before you get to heaven, Lord, I feel like shining all the time. Well, you got to live holy before you get to heaven. You got to live holy before you get to heaven. You got to live holy before you get to heaven, Lord, I feel like shining all the time. Well,
the road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. The road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. The road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. Lord, I feel like shouting all the time. Well, you got to quit lying before you get to heaven. You got to quit lying before you get to heaven. You got to quit lying before you get to heaven. Lord, I feel like shouting all the time. Well, the road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. The road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. The road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. Lord, I feel like shouting all the time. Well, you got to love your brother before you get to heaven. You got to love your brother before you get to heaven. You got to love your brother before you get to heaven. Lord, I feel like shouting all the time. Well, the road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. The road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. The road is rough and rocky before you get to heaven. Lord, I feel like shouting all the time.
Fortresses or touch the fur.
She Does Not Brave the War by My Brightest Diamond, a.k.a. singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Shara Warden. It's always a pleasure to hear a new set of songs from her, and I'll be playing more from that new CD, All Things Will Unwind, throughout this week on Lake Junction. Before that, the New Grape Twins, who took their name from a popular non-alcoholic drink and sang in the Methodist and Baptist churches of the southern United States in the late 1920s. The road is rough and rocky. Amen to that. The hyperactive wayward percussion wizard that is Sebastian Rochford has unleashed a new project into an unsuspecting world. He's joined by Pamelia Kirstin on theremin on this foreboding but funky set, which they've entitled Ouch, Evil, Slow Hop. From it comes Ouch 2. We'll be right back.
More from Ben Johnston's Sonata for Microtonal Piano with Robert Miller at the piano. Let's put just intonation behind us for tonight and embrace a cappella. Here's Nipa, a Ghanaian group, with the joyous tune Ajiman Mo.
Jimamo, demain matin, mettez cailloux là-bas.
Jimamo, ya.
Demain matin, mettez cailloux là-bas.
Jimamo, ya.
Jimamo, ya.
Jimamo, ya, commandant, Jimamo, ya.
Demain matin, mettez cailloux là-bas.
Jimamo, ya, Jimamo, ya.
Demain matin, mettez cailloux là-bas.
Jimamo, ya, Jimamo, ya.
Jimamo, ya, Jimamo, ya. Jimamo, ya, Jimamo, ya.
Jima, Jima, Jima Moya.
Yes, Danza Negra, by one of the great stars of 20th century Colombian music, composer, multi-instrumentalist and bandleader Lucho Bermudez with his orchestra. And the sultry singer is his wife, Matilda Diaz. Before that, a classic piece of piano improvisation, Pianology 6 by Kjetil Bjørnstad. And if I got that wrong, Fiona will be back to put me right. More Late Junction tomorrow, but let's stay with piano for the final piece tonight. I'm going to leave you with a piano duet from Pedal. They are Simon James Phillips and Chris Abrahams, who's the piano player from The Next. It's called Performance. Good night. Thank you.
Time now for Music Through the Night on Radio 3. Welcome from me, Susan Sharp. I'm with you for the next 6 hours and look forward to your company for a while. The early morning begins with chamber music today, a Schumann recital of all three violin sonatas performed by Russians Ilya Gringolts and Peter Laul. Schumann wrote the first two of his violin sonatas in 1851. The last he put together 2 years later, just before he was committed to an asylum. But by 1851 there were already plenty of indications of his illness. That year most of the pieces he worked on were in minor keys, reflecting his introspective nature and his tension. The violin sonata number 1 is in A minor.